There was a time when God began to deal with me because I had my own program and system of reading the scriptures and studying, and God dealt with me. And said, are you willing to lay it down? And I said, Lord, I can't. He said, can't you trust me where that I can direct you where and when to read it? And I didn't really think that he could. I was afraid to lay it down. And finally, in desperation, I said, Lord, here it is. Now, from here on, I give up my system, and you direct me where and when and how to read the scripture. I wouldn't tell a babe in Christ this, because most of the babes in Christ don't know anything about following the leadings of the Spirit of God. But the time comes when God can begin to deal with you on some very delicate and very touchy situations, even such as scripture reading and scripture study. And when you're willing to let the Spirit of God direct your steps, He begins to open the book up in an entirely new way. We have only had a child's concept concerning the interpretation of it. Now He's bringing us into manhood and showing us the real truth that's there. He's wonderful. He's wonderful. I said, He is wonderful. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. All right, turn with me to the book of Numbers, the 10th chapter, beginning at the first verse. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, make thee two trumpets of silver, of a whole piece shalt thou make them, that thou mayest use them for the calling of the assembly, and for the journeying of the camp. And when they shall blow with them, all the assembly shall assemble themselves to thee at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And if they blow but with one trumpet, then the princes which are heads of the thousands of Israel shall gather themselves unto thee. When ye blow an alarm, then the camps that lie on the east part shall go forward. When ye blow an alarm the second time, then the camps that lie on the south side shall take their journey. They shall blow an alarm for their journey. But when the congregation is to be gathered together, ye shall blow, but ye shall not sound an alarm. And the sons of Aaron the priest shall blow with the trumpet, and they shall be to you for an ordinance forever throughout your generations. And if ye go to war in your land against the enemy that oppresseth you, then ye shall blow an alarm with the trumpet, and ye shall be remembered before the Lord your God, and ye shall be saved from your enemies. Also in the day of your gladness, and in your solemn days, and in the beginnings of your month, ye shall blow with the trumpets over your burnt offerings, and over your sacrifices of your peace offerings, that they may be to you for a memorial before your God, I am the Lord your God. It's very strange how God directed us into this particular portion of scripture as we were getting ready to come over to Sacramento. The Lord had laid it on our hearts to come, and Deb said to me one day, she said, I think the Lord ought to give us a scripture now concerning the trip to Sacramento. He could give us something. And then the Lord just whispered to my heart, Numbers 10, and I didn't even have any idea what it was. And we began to read this scripture about the blowing of the silver trumpet. And something within me responded to it. And I said, well, if this is what He gave us to go to Sacramento on, then this is what the Lord wants us to give the folks in Sacramento too. This thing works both ways. Now let me say first of all that every word that is translated trumpet through the Old Testament is not the same Hebrew word. There are about four different Hebrew words that are all translated trumpet. But the word that is translated trumpet in this case does not mean the twisted shape that we see in trumpets today. It was a long, straight instrument with a very wide mouth on it. And it was made of beaten work. Where it says it's made of one piece, it literally means it was hammered out. It was beaten out into this shape. And these silver trumpets were to be used for specific purposes. Now there were other trumpets that were used. There was a jubilee trumpet, but this is not a jubilee trumpet. You remember that at the time they marched around the walls of Jericho, they were blowing ram's horns, which was literally a jubilee trumpet. But these trumpets were these long, straight ones with a wide mouth that were used for a specific purpose in calling a specific people. As I look out over this congregation tonight, I wonder how many of you know that you are Israelites. And when I say Israelites, I'm not talking about some spiritual, ethereal doctrine that you're spiritual Israel. You cannot be spiritual Israel unless you are first natural Israel. Spiritual Israel is the spiritual part out of natural Israel. And to me, this is the one key of the understanding of what God is doing in these days. Everywhere we go, we keep bearing down upon this fact that we are Israelites. Not Gentiles grafted into the olive tree. I don't care how many branches you graft into the good olive tree, that branch will still bear the same kind of wild olive from the tree from which it was cut. They partake of the fatness and the roots and the blessings of Israel, but they still bear wild olive. Paul, when he wrote there in the book of Romans, he said some of the branches were broken off. He did not say all of them were. And he said blindness in part have happened to Israel until the times of the Gentiles be coming and fulfilled. Some people may accuse us of being very naturally minded when we talk about Israel. But if we are, it's supernaturally wonderful. This truth concerning the silver trumpet does not pertain unto the other nations. It pertains to Israel. And it's a tragedy that the Israelites are so blind that they're trying to give this to all of the other races of the earth and make them walk according to what God has given Israel to walk according to. Why do our missionaries have such a struggle with the other races? Because they're trying to make them Israelites. True, the nation shall be blessed through Israel. But you can't make these other races to understand the deep work that God is doing in the Israel people. And most of the missionaries that are trying to do it to the other races are in those countries for their perfection and not the perfection of the people to whom they are ministering. God just simply can perfect them better under those circumstances than he can any other circumstance. The silver trumpets were to call Israel together. Now, to what do these trumpets refer then? In the first place, two is the number of witnesses. There were two trumpets. In the second place, the trumpets were made of silver, and silver is a type of redemption. So you put two silver trumpets together, and you have a witness of redemption. Furthermore, a trumpet speaks of a message. But a trumpet is no good at all unless there is someone to blow it. And to blow it takes breath, which speaks of the Spirit. And you can have a trumpet, you can have a message, but if the Spirit is not there to enlighten it, it is just simply dead to you and to others in you. If you'll turn now to the book of 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter, and we'll read the 8th verse first, and then we'll back up a couple of them. 1 Corinthians 14:8. For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to battle? If it gives an uncertain sound, who will prepare himself to battle? Now, back to the 6th verse. Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you? Except I shall speak to you either by revelation, or by knowledge, or by prophesying, or by doctrine, and even things without life giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sound, how shall it be known what is pipe or harp? For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? Paul says, I believe it's in the same chapter, I thank my God that I speak in tongues more than ye all. And yet he says here, if I come unto you speaking in tongues, what is it going to profit you? Except I begin to speak to you by revelation, or doctrine, or prophecy, or knowledge. In years past, there has been a terrific emphasis on speaking in tongues. You say, don't you believe in it? Yes, I believe in it. And when I was filled with the Spirit, God gave me a liberty in speaking in other languages. It just simply flowed like a river. But what is happening these days? Question yourself. Do you speak in tongues now like you used to? Perhaps you've even come under condemnation over it. You needn't. The time comes when tongues shall speak. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I thought as a child. I understood as a child. But when you begin to grow up, something begins to happen. I found myself saying, Lord, I'm weary of just speaking in tongues and not knowing anything that's being said. Lord, if you'd just let me know what's being said, it would be all right. But my understanding is untruthful, and this is what Paul was talking about. His understanding was untruthful, even though he spoke in the Spirit in other languages. And he likened this very thing unto a trumpet that gives an uncertain sound. A speaking in tongues without knowledge is a trumpet, is a message that has an uncertain sound that will never get anyone ready for the battle. I am not downing tongues. They have their place. But God wants us to grow up where he can begin to impart unto us the knowledge. All right. He said then, knowledge, revelation, prophesying, or doctrine. These things are likened unto a trumpet that makes a certain sound, a sound that can be understood. And we're living in a time when God is preparing to call the Israelites together. And he's not calling them together by the speaking in tongues. He's calling them together by knowledge and understanding and revelation and wisdom, things that can be understood. And when you begin to speak like this, there comes down a division among the people. Because they want to continue on with their childish experience, as good as it is. But a child in kindergarten never learns math. God is bringing us into a place of maturity where his knowledge can be imparted unto us. So the sound of the trumpet is the revelation, which means the unveiling, the uncovering, things that have been hidden. It isn't that they are new. It's simply the uncovering of something that has been hidden for a long time. When a sculptor prepares his great piece, his masterpiece, it is finished before it is ever veiled over. And when the time comes for the unveiling, they can only unveil what he's already done. And what is being given to us in the line of revelation now is truth that has always been true. It's not new. It is eternal as God is. But God is just taking the covering off of us and revealing unto us these truths that are so marvelous and so wonderful. Revelation, this is one of the calls of the silver trumpet. And this is one thing that's going to weed out Israel and the mixed multitudes and the races and get Israel gathered under its own standards and its own back. Then he speaks about knowledge. And he's not talking about theories. He's talking about knowledge, things that you know. And this is the hour when knowledge is increasing, not only in the natural, but in the spiritual. It's increasing so fast and so rapidly, and yet we know. And then he speaks about prophesying, which doesn't necessarily mean the foretelling of events. It can include that, but it means the foretelling by the Spirit of God. And then he ends up with doctrine, and the word literally means teaching. And some people cringe when it comes to teaching. Teaching is not dry if it's accompanied by the anointing of the Spirit of God. It gives life, it imparts life. This is the call that is going out now, not speaking in tongues. We've had our time of that, and thank God for it. But the clarion call of the silver trumpet, the witness to the redemption, is knowledge. Wisdom, revelation, understanding, doctrine, all of these things. This comes out of the wide mouth of the silver trumpet. For what purpose? Then God gave them the specific purpose. He said, these two trumpets are for the calling together of the assembly, which means an appointed meeting. Oh, we've had meetings or anything but appointed. They've just been meetings. And the word calling there, which is the calling of the assembly, the word actually means the convocating of the assembly. We have had everything from meetings to services to revivals to everything else, but how many holy convocations have we had? He said these silver trumpets are for the convocating of the assembly at an appointed place, at an appointed time. What? It's for the journeying of the camp. It's first to call them together, and secondly, it's to get them on the move. Israel isn't going to begin the move until Israel first has been gathered. How can you get them journeying if you can't get them called together first? It's for two purposes. And then he began to tell how the trumpet was to be blown. He said, when you want to call the people together, you call them with short, sharp notes. In other words, wake them up, startle them, alert them. But if you want the camp to begin to journey, you make a long blast, which is the sound of the alarm. And then the camp will begin to move forward. We're not ready yet for the journey. It's time to get them together. And then the Lord goes on in telling Moses, and he said, when only one trumpet is sounded, that's to gather together the princes of Israel. And when you get the princes of Israel together, God can impart unto the princes or the heads of Israel some of the truth that he once imparted, and they will go back and tell the thousands of Israel in their various texts, in their various times. If you want a list of who the princes are, turn back to the first chapter of Numbers. And every name that is given there has a specific meaning. And it shows the characteristics of those who shall be leaders in Israel. I didn't say preachers. I didn't even say teachers. He said they were princes who were heads of the thousands in Israel. God has some men that who will be heads in Israel who are not necessarily be preachers or teachers or anything else. They'll be leaders in Israel. Beginning at the 5th verse, and these are the names of the men that shall stand with you of the tribe of Reuben, Elizur, the son of Shedeur, and that means God is a rock. Of Simeon, Shelumiel, the son of Zerichadai, and that means the peace of God. Of Judah, Nathan, the son of Aminadab, which means an oracle. Of Issachar, Nathanael, the son of Joar, which means the gift of God. Of Zebulun, Eliab, the son of Elon, which means God is Father. Of the children of Joseph, of Ephraim, Elishama, which means God hears. Of Manasseh, Gamaliel, which means God is a recompenser. Of Benjamin, Abidan, the son of Gideoni, which means the father of judgment. Of Dan, Ahiezer, which means the brother of help, or the helpful. Of Asher, Pagiel, which means the intervention of God. Of Gad, Eliasaph, which means God is the gathering. Of Naphtali, Ahira, which means the brother of evil or the unlucky one. Now, if you take all of these meanings, you begin to get the characteristics of those who shall be leaders in Israel, among the thousands of Israel, of the tribes of Israel. You have those, God is their rock, God is their stability. They may not have any stability in themselves, God is their stability. The next one is the peace of God, or God is their peace. There may be everything going on all around us, but God is their peace in the midst of it. You have Nathanael, which means an oracle. This is the speaking forth of God, an oracle of God. God speaks to them, they know the voice of God. Eliab, which means God is our Father. We are his sons and his daughters. There's a family relationship. You go on, the next one means God hears. They don't care whether anybody else hears or not. God hears. The next one is God is a recompenser. He's the rewarder of those that diligently seek him. The next one means the father of judgment. Oh yes, there's judgment in here. But these people have been through so much judgment themselves that any judgment they need out is always needed out in mercy. The next one means the brother of help or the helpful one. If there is ever a time when people need to be helpful, it's in this hour. The next one is the intervention of God. They're the people that know that God intervenes, regardless of what circumstances are. The next one is God is the gatherer. He's the one that gathers together. How are you here tonight? He gathers. You didn't gather under him, you might just as well go home. God is the gatherer. And the last one is the brother of evil, or the man that is so acquainted with trouble and evil that he knows it from every angle. These are the characteristics of those that are going to hear the call of the trumpet and gather together and take back to Israel the truth of God as it's never been known before. It is time for the princes of Israel to be gathering together. It's time. We need it. We desperately need it. But it isn't only the princes he's gathering, the whole assembly of Israel. When the trumpet call comes with its sharp, short, sharp sound, staccato, clear, fast, and tight, they'll be ready to gather. And when they hear that same trumpet sound with its long blast, they'll be ready to journey on. He said, when it sounds the first time, the camps on the east are ready to move out, and that's the camp of Judah. You'll find there were three tribes on each of the four sides of the camp, and you'll always find Judah out in the front. Then the ones on the south, and the west, and the north, they'll follow on in proper place. But Judah is always out there in the front. You can mark them. You'll find that these Judahites, somebody's nodding the head and laughing back there. Well, I have a partner who's a Judahite. I can talk. And God spoke and said, Judah shall reckon with Judah. And she can almost always spot another Judahite. But Judah is always out there ready to go, ready to march. But that wasn't the only purpose of these children's trumpets. And this part perhaps is overlooked. He said, you shall blow these trumpets at your feet and at the new moon. For what purpose? In the 10th verse, that they may be to you for a memorial before your God. I am the Lord, your God. They are to be blown for a memorial, which literally means for a remembrance. They're to be blown. I want to touch on something. It may be new to you. It may be only stirring up your pure minds by way of remembrance. But you cannot remember anything unless you've already known it. Remembering is knowing. Jesus said when the Spirit would come, he will bring to your remembrance all things whatsoever I have told you. And you say, oh, he did, and the apostles wrote it down. This is a part of the fulfillment, but this is not all of the fulfillment. How much did you know before you ever took upon yourself, or God gave unto you, a flesh? I'm not talking about reincarnation. I am talking about pre-existence. We pre-existed in spirit form with the Father before we were ever in a body of flesh. When all of the sons of God shouted for joy. Now they were all there, or they all couldn't shout. And what is happening now, the great revelation that is about to take place and is even beginning, is not just a revelation of something outside of ourselves. It's a revelation within us. And the veil is being removed. The veil that has been cast over our minds is being removed. And as the trumpet sounds, oh, suddenly, it's as if we always knew it. Of course, because we knew it before the foundation of the world. And God's removing the veil, and we are remembering those things that we knew way back there in the beginning of the age. One of the purposes was for the purpose of remembering. They shall be unto you a memorial. They'll be unto you a remembrance. It's going to bring to your mind things that have been veiled over through the ages. And oh, it's so wonderful and so precious as God quickens these things to us. We say, oh, it seems like I always knew it. You did. You did know it. And it's just being unveiled afresh and anew again. Oh, the marvel of the working of God. How marvelous that he has called it at this particular time of the world's history. You weren't born at this particular time by accident. You were born at this particular time by the appointment of God. It was wonderful to live in the days of Jesus, but it's more wonderful to live in this day. In this hour. And as the trumpet begins to sound forth its clear, clarion call of the revelation of God, it brings to our minds all of this marvelous truth that has been since before the foundation of the world. And we're a very part of it. Oh, hallelujah. This is so wonderful and so precious to my heart. Perhaps it's the key of the whole thing, is the remembrance that God has for us. Now let me say another word. Will you notice in the ninth verse, it said, and if ye go to war in your land, he didn't say it's somebody else's land. If you go to war in your land against the enemy that oppresses you, then he shall blow an alarm, a long blast with a trumpet. And ye shall be remembered before the Lord your God, and ye shall be saved from your enemies. Let's stop here for just a minute. Can we get some chairs in here for these folks? There are some empty ones up here that you can sneak out here. We don't want to leave them standing. He said, if you go against the enemy in your land, he didn't say go outside of your land. Don't go out looking for them. There will be plenty of enemies without you looking for them. Methinks that a lot of this that has gone on in years past of rebuking demons here and rebuking demons there, people have gone out looking for them. I've seen it. I've been in the meetings and you have too. They've gone looking for them. God says when they come in your place where you live, then let the trumpet be blown and God's going to go out and fight for you and you're going to be remembered and God's going to save you from your enemies. We have enough problem with the things that are right in our own territory without trying to create some other situation. And these spirits that are everywhere in the earth today are so smart, they'll cooperate with you and work with you to make a big spectacle. But you wait till the enemy oppresses you where you live, then it's time to realize that God's going to fight for you. I'm going to say something concerning our own nation. Naturally speaking, we are an Israelite nation, founded upon the principles of Israel. And our nation has gone out through the earth trying to conquer everybody else's enemies. And they've spread themselves so thin over the whole earth that they're almost in difficulty over it. God spoke to us at one time and he said, you'll stand in your place and the enemy will be driven back from the shore. He didn't say stand in some other country. He said, you'll stand in your place and drive the enemy back from the shore. We are facing dastardly days, treacherous days. And our only help is God. It isn't going to be our armies and our navies and our bombs that are going to win it. It's going to be the sons of God that are going to stand in their lot and by the decree of peace drive the adversary from our land. You wonder why there's so much trouble in some of these other nations, and the whites are finding themselves in such difficulty in various places. God's trying to get Israel into her own land. And so the other nations are ousting them. And the persecution will continue until the whites get where they belong. Read the scripture again. And if you go to war in your land against the enemy that oppresseth you, then you shall blow an alarm with the trumpet, and you shall be remembered before the Lord your God, and you shall be saved from your enemy. This to me is one of the most precious scriptures concerning the preservation of God's people in the hour in which we live. You say, since we have armies and navies, of course, you don't have a nation without that. Israel has. But God said he's going to preserve it in our land. Going to preserve it. And when the silver trumpets of the revelation and the truth of God and the knowledge of God are blown, this is our greatest defense against the hordes of ungodly men that would take over our own nation. All right. We're in this hour when God is letting the trumpet begin to sound, and we haven't heard anything yet. You say, I'm afraid I'm going to miss it. You're not going to miss it when that trumpet sounds. You're going to hear it. When the trumpet sounded in Israel, they all heard it. What they did with it was another story. But the witness of redemption, and we are facing redemption even now. We're groaning for the redemption of our bodies, and all of creation is groaning for it. And as God gives the revelation and the knowledge and the doctrine and so forth, it's a witness to us that our redemption is at the door. And how we long for it. And with this silver clarion call of the silver assembly trumpet, God is going to bring to your remembrance the things that have been hidden. God will take care of our adversaries. God will gather Israel. God will cause Israel to start forward. God will gather the heads of Israel together. Therefore, the important thing is, do you know who you are? Do you know? Thank God, we are Israelites. Amen. You can be born of Israel, in Israel, or through Israel. And that's another subject in itself. But we are Israelites. Getting ready, getting our ears sharpened up to hear what God has to speak to us. These are days more of listening than of talking. These are days for the ears to be circumcised and hear the voice of the Lord. You wonder why you're waiting? You wonder why you're sitting? You're listening. Listening. Waiting for that call of the trumpet that will gather Israel together. And nothing else will gather. You can gather all kinds of mixed multitudes together. But God's interested in gathering Israel. Hallelujah. What more can we say? We could talk the rest of the night, but if the Spirit of God quickens it to you, you already have it. And if he hasn't quickened it to you, I can't talk it in. Shall we stand together?
Let be the time that binds our hearts in Christian love. Thank you.
benediction can you pronounce? The benediction of the truth of God is enough to anoint you with fresh oil. You can go, you can stay, you can talk, you can sing, you can do whatever you want to do. We'll be here tomorrow again by the appointment of God. You'll be here if he sends you, and if he doesn't, you won't. God bless you.